Hello, my name is Ray Montgomery. I'd like to welcome you to the Navigating Blindness podcast. And on today's show, we have our employment service team joining us today. How's it going, team?
Hey, good morning, Ray. Good, thanks.
Doing well.
Once again, we have a great show. And today we're going to be dispelling another myth. And this myth is related to job coaches. And I know a lot of people are have a lot of questions about job coaches and what they do. And today we're going to get into this myth. But before we get started into the myth today, let's do a brief introduction. I'm going to start with you, Christy. Tell us what you do here at Bosmus Employment Services.
I'm Christy Russell, and I am the Senior Manager of Adult and Youth Employment Services here at Bosmus Center for Visionary Solutions. And in my area, we are working with youth as early as age 14 in preparing for life after high school, as in terms of work skills, work readiness, self-advocacy, or any kind of support if they're going to go on to post-secondary. And then we transition into our adult employment services program, where we are working with individuals who are maybe new to their vision loss or have acquired vision loss, but it's progressed over time. And they're really looking to re-enter the workforce possibly, or even just stay in the workforce, but maybe they have new responsibilities and they need our assistance in talking through that process with their employer.
All right, next we have Matt.
Hello, I'm Matt Edwards. I'm an employment specialist here at Bosma, and I work with our adults on finding community employment. I do some benefits consulting and work with our youth through the pre-eds program, and also train other job coaches through the Level Up program throughout the state.
Last we have Katie. How you doing, Katie?
Doing well, Ray. Similar to Matt, I am an employment specialist here at Bosma, working with our adults.
Sounds good. And today's myth is related to job coaches, and it states that if you are hiring a person who is blind, you are also hiring their job coach. And talk about that myth for a minute. What is the role of a job coach? And I'm going to start with you, Christy.
Yeah, I think this myth is a good one because I think most people really don't know what a job coach is. Sometimes you'll hear it interchangeably, you know, employment specialist, that's what we use here at Bosma. Job coach, career coach, all of the above. And what does it mean? It just means we are another individual that is a part of the candidate's life who specializes in one area that they need assistance with. And in our case, we are the experts in vision loss and accommodations in a workplace. So when someone is working with a job coach, this person is there to be a resource, not only to the individual, but also to that employer. We realize with ADA, right, the ADA law, the employer can't just come right out and ask about disability. However, by having a job coach or somebody present or available for the questions related to any technology, assistance the person may need to do the job, you have a neutral person that can really be that bridge to answering questions and making sure that everyone feels ready for that first day of employment and that everyone feels supported. We recognize employers don't know all the things about all the, gazillions types of accommodations that exist for people with disabilities. But when you see a job coach present or you are made aware that the person has a job coach, an employer should see that as a resource. Like, okay, great. I don't need to know everything about this person's need because they already are working with someone that can be a partner with us and make sure that our HR team does indeed get the right equipment ordered or understands how that person utilizes a different device or something of that nature. That's what I would say is the meaning of it. Now, sometimes it can be misunderstood. Right. I think sometimes an employer sees another person come into that interview or with the person maybe in the lobby and they think, oh, well, they're not independent. Or, oh, am I hiring two people for this? Or most commonly, they assume that the job coach will be with them every day on the job, which none of those things are true in its entirety. So I think there's just a big question mark when you see another person come in, because most of us, right, when we went on an interview, probably didn't have another person join us. So how do you explain that role? That's something we have to work with our clients on.
So how long do they often stay with that individual once they are hired for that position?
I could tell you that there's some job sites I've never seen. And then there's others where I've spent very significant amount of time in getting somebody acclimated to their job site. So it really depends on the situation as to how long we would stay with them. You know, I myself, I guess if I could put a time frame on it, you know, I don't want to really be at a job more than a week or five times. I'm going to hope that we've covered everything from, you know, navigation to just, you know, getting acclimated with your job site, everything in, you know, in a week's time. But there's sometimes when it takes a little bit longer. Maybe they have some significant training. Maybe they're a screen reader user. Maybe we have to help walk through some of the technology and stuff like that and really be a set of eyes. I've spent quite a bit of on jobs sometimes doing that. But I'd say on average, for the most part, you know, a day or two, if somebody needs whatever type of acclimation. And then we follow up in the coming months, really, with the employer, with the client, you know, just making sure everything is good and they are as independent as possible on the job. So
So, do you get any pushback from, like, I guess the client saying, okay, maybe I don't want, you know, the job coach to show up at the interview or come to the job site, or is there any type of pushback that ever comes across?
definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely. I think the key is that we're working with full-blown adults. You know, these are individuals that have worked, they have experience, they've, you know, maybe been to college. They know what they want, they know their skill level. And we are available to them for as little or as much assistance as they want. Our clients want different things from us. You know, sometimes they just want some networking opportunities, like, hey, you guys are out and about, you know these different employers. Is there anyone you can connect me with? Is there any upcoming events I can go to kind of put myself out there? And that may be it. They just need connections. We all know the power of networking. Whereas others, maybe they are transitioning to a completely new career path. And in those cases, they probably want a little more support from us. You know, they're really not up to speed with the current job market for that particular type of field, or they really don't know who in their community is hiring for that type of work, or what are those requirements that they're going to need to have. Is there additional training they might need that would help them be more employable? So sometimes we're doing research, and that's really where they need us. It really is truly so different. It's a preference, you know, because they certainly don't want to look as though they're not capable when in front of an employer. So we always ask our individuals, you know, what is it that you really need from us, and how can we best assist you? You know, we're not here to do everything for them. We're not here to tell them where they're going to go to work or put them in a job. You know, that's absolutely not the role of an employment specialist. It's really just to be a partner and help them get where they're trying to go and at what level of involvement they're comfortable with. It is definitely not uncommon, like Matt said, where maybe we're all behind the scenes, but once they get the job, they say, no, I'm good. I'll let you know if there's an issue, or I'll share your number and email with my HR person. And we may never be contacted. We just check in with our individual. And at the same way with an interview, sometimes they want us to go and we take them and we have that conversation with them before they step foot into the building. And then at that point, they go on their own to the interview, but we're waiting for them in the back, you know, if they need us. So it really is truly just a preference, but it's on us to be clear of what we can do for them so they know how to access us the best way as well.
So what are some things that a job coach or a career coach don't do as far as helping when you're helping an individual find a job?
This is a fun question.
I don't know if there's anything we don't do other than go to work for them, you know, when they have a job. I know we don't do that, but gosh, I don't know. I think Christy just explained that very well, you know, our role and the things that we do do. And I think it's very important to ask the client what they want and how can we best help them, because like she said, everybody is different. What I don't like to do is do everything. So we like to we see ourselves as leaders in this case, but also we want to try to empower the people that we're working with as well. So I don't like showing up to meetings, and I've done all the job searching for the week and all the research and whatever it may be. So we really try to hold our people accountable and keep them a part of the process, leading the process in some instances. So I don't know.
Okay.
Hope that
So
helps.
what are some of the benefits of working with a job coach?
Some of the benefits of working with a job coach, man, that's pretty extensive. And like what Christy was saying, each person kind of gets out of it what they need and want out of it. But some of our services could look like revising a resume or practicing interviewing skills, different things to get you ready for that interview and for that application for that job that you're really searching for.
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
it's very important.
I agree. I think the other thing that came to my mind was, especially in our case where we're working with people who are visually impaired, they may or may not have the computer software they need at home. Maybe they don't have a home computer with that screen reading software that they would need to apply to jobs. Well, one benefit of working with us on our team is we do have that resource. They can come to our office and right there with us. They can use our AT lab if needed. I mean, we have the resources they need to be independent if that's what they want. But they also have us if they say, hey, I'm not going to stress about all that, but can I just be and, meet with you? And if you are okay with reading the questions to me, I'll tell you what I would like you to put in those fields. And they dictate to us how to respond. So that's definitely a benefit if they don't have the means to have these accommodations in their home for personal use. We can help them with that to help them get over that. Our goal is to remove the barrier as best as we possibly can. And in our case, we have those things. We have magnifiers they can borrow, and to get them to that point, and hopefully they feel empowered, like Matt said, to go forth and apply and nail that interview and get that offer. And then we can certainly work with the HR department to get them those resources they need to continue to do the job. So I think that's definitely a perk. One thing that popped into my head as we were thinking about perks, though, is going back to your last question of what do we not do, that sometimes employers are confused when they find out that an individual has a job coach or an employment specialist, is sometimes, let's say it's orientation and it's time for the person to go to orientation. Sometimes they will look to us to kind of help them get through the screens or whatnot. And it's like, well, we can read to them what's on the screen if they don't have that technology in place yet. But the individual is the one you need to be talking to. You got to train them. They're your employee, not me, not your job, not the job coach, right? I'm just here to be that filler for whatever it is that's missing for them to access the information. So most of the time, if orientation starts next week, of course, your employer doesn't have screen reading software already installed and on your device. They're probably still waiting on their IT team to even get your device ready, So we know that we can come along and be the mechanism, for them to participate. But at the end of the day, we tell employers, we're don't talk to us, talk to your employee. They have to learn this training like any other new employee needs to learn it. It's not going to be any different. Or I know back in my days when I was, in a different role, there was this one employer that kept saying, oh, well, because they have this disability, it's okay if we need to like tailor their orientation or take some parts out. And I'm like, why would you do that? Would you take parts out of your employee training for any other employee? Like the person needs to participate and do what any other employee is expected to do. They might just be receiving the information in a different format.
Great point. Great point. Yeah, the job coach, y'all definitely provide great support. So how do their coworkers feel about having, you know, when they see a job coach, you know, with that employee on the job? Do you feel like they get any pushback from their coworkers, or are they looked at any differently from having a job coach with them on site? How do y'all feel about that interaction?
I don't know. I'm glad you brought that up too, because I could say just in my experience, 99.5% of the job sites I've been to, people have been well receptive there. I've heard very little negative feedback about this or that. It does happen, don't get me wrong. With the coworker thing, so I mean, my goal as a job coach, and we just did a training on this recently, was about natural support. So, and by that, my hope is to help this person build a good natural support system at work. And you know, with natural supports, we're talking about coworkers, especially who are your go-to people. You know, and we strategize, you know, some challenges or issues we may face. You know, beforehand, whether it's navigation or technology or what have you. But my goal is, you know, when I leave a job site, I feel good about that person does have a good natural support system in place. But really, I haven't had too many bad experiences, I guess, with people and accepting somebody who's blind or visually impaired or has another disability. I mean, I think in today's day and age, this is not so much of a foreign concept with having people with disabilities in the workplace. You know, I think most people are familiar with the concept. I think most people are familiar with the concept of a job coach as well.
Most businesses are becoming more open and being more acceptive of, you know, just really hiring a more diverse pool of employees.
I think in my opinion, but I did go to this job fair last week and talking to everybody, and they were really intrigued about, you know, blindness, people are blind and in the workplace and what we do and stuff like that. A little too intrigued, you know. I'm like, wish you folks would have heard of this before, or this wasn't such a difficult concept, but
To piggyback off of what Matt was saying, I think in today's world, especially with DEI becoming more prevalent, workplaces and employees, it's definitely a culture that's more accepting than maybe it was 20, 30 years ago. People are a lot more open to accepting people with different backgrounds and abilities.
And I think coming out of COVID, that helped kind of force that openness. I think at a higher level, even as companies realized, okay, there's more than one way to be productive. There's more than one way for my staff to perform, you know, that it no longer had to be this box format, right? This time to this time, this space only. You know, I think we've learned a lot. And so I think that absolutely contributed to more openness. But to Matt's point, it does still shock me that while I think employers are becoming better, there still seems to be so much curiosity and just shock when they consider how someone who is blind does different jobs. I still am met with a lot of, you know, especially people or maybe like my personal life, and it's like, well, how, I mean, you really help, like, how does a blind person do that? You know, and so that tells us as job coaches, right, as what we do every day, we still have a lot of work to keep doing and educating that there is no one way to do anything ever. And we have to understand that, you know, how we perceive a task because it's the way we've gotten it done doesn't mean that's how five other people would do it. And there's always more than one way, and there is no quote unquote right way per se, but it's about task completion. And have you done the things you need to do to complete the task to its quality standards or whatever was expected of you? And that some people are going to do that with their eyes. Some people maybe are nonverbal and they're going to use a device. You know, some people are, they can't hear. You know, I mean, there's lots of ways. And so while I do think there's been a lot of forward momentum in this field, I am still shocked at how people still kind of view a blind individual and what they can or cannot do on a job.
Is it because you don't really see a lot of, maybe you don't see a lot of blind individuals within the community or out working in different capacities? What do you think that stems from?
I do think a big factor is just if you've never met someone who is blind, you have no idea what exists for them. You know, for us, it's every day. We work with people who are blind. We are helping people who are blind. So to us, it seems very obvious. Oh, well, of course they can do that because we're around it
Right.
and we see it. We learn. We have ongoing training about new apps. You know, we are immersed in it. But to the everyday person, why would you know those things
Right.
if you don't have a reason to?
That's
And
right.
I think we just, people don't know what they don't know. I feel like we certainly say that all the time, but I think that's still true in this case. You know, when I say screen reading software, I see eyes just gloss over. Like, what are you talking about, Christy? So they use a different computer, you know, but then again, you're getting into IT stuff. Most people aren't IT tech people, right? They don't even know what you mean when you say screen reader or software. You know, they've tuned you out right there. So now I've got two strikes against me. And it just, people just don't know what they've not yet had the opportunity to experience.
Yeah, I remember when I first got a smartphone and I first pulled out that smartphone, I got a lot of questions. Like, how are you going to use that phone when it doesn't have any buttons on it? You know what I'm saying? So people just don't know. And it's really,
I've
it's
been
hard.
asked that. How does a blind person use today's new phones when there's no
Yes.
buttons? I've been asked that more than once.
Oh, yeah.
How do they use the phone?
I mean, it sounds like a simple question, but I mean, it is. I mean, it is. Could be complex of an individual that's never seen voiceover or doesn't understand technology. So it's just something that you have to always be constantly explaining to individuals. So I want to congratulate the ES team for 21 placements. That's a great accomplishment.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Yeah, so thinking of our fiscal year, at Bosma, we start in July. So as of the end of last quarter, so March, the team had accomplished 21 placements already with our goal. We always hover between 25, 27, is always what we're shooting for. I'd love to see 30 every year. You know, the
Right,
more people, the better. The higher the number, the better. But as anyone that's been following our podcast knows, we've had some new staff join our team, and we've had a period of training and learning. So to still be on track with that is absolutely wonderful. You know, every number is a person with a win.
yes.
Every number is a person that got an opportunity that had been desperate for just someone to give them a chance. And so for us, those numbers are so empowering because these are people that got their life back. For a lot of people that we meet when they lose their vision, you know, they're so worried, as they should, about just getting through the day, taking care of themselves. If they have a family, you know, how do I take care of my home? Work is always the last thing initially because they just need to survive and
Yes.
breathe and understand what happened to them and process that. And there's some grief involved in that if it's changed their life. And so when they get to the point where they return to work, it's like that, I say, the bow on the package for them, because now they feel like they're back to some sort of semblance to their life before. You know, they're out, they're working, they're contributing. A lot of them will tell us, and I think the team would recognize when they get that first paycheck again, it just the relief, you know, something so simple that we all kind of take for granted until something happens to us. And none of us are exempt from having a life event at any given moment in any given day. You know, the disability community is one we can all be a member of at any point in time, but
Yes.
we don't live our life always thinking that way. And so, you know, for us to even be a small part on an individual's journey back to, I guess, that, you know, that final bow on the package, just getting to that final piece of their journey where they are back to work, is just absolutely amazing, for lack of better words. It's really something that I feel like we are just so fortunate to even get to experience.
You guys are like the last piece of the puzzle once they come to our Center for Visionary Solutions. It's like, you know, once they go through the training, they're built up, they got their confidence back, and now they're ready to go see Christy and the
Yeah,
team.
we say it's time to go to work. When you're coming to us, we're ready. Like we're ready to go. And so we hope you're ready too, because we are full steam ahead.
So if anyone's out there listening or maybe on the fence of maybe getting a job coach, what would you say to them before we get out of here?
Goodness, great questions today, Ray. Well, from my perspective, as I say, why not? It never hurts to have a resource. It never hurts to have somebody who does this work every day to bounce your ideas off, to ask questions, to get those nerves out, practice with before you're in that real interview. It never hurts to have that support. I fully encourage anyone out there to look into employment services. If you're an indie and you're visually impaired, obviously we are certainly an option for you, but there are lots of great employment service providers all throughout our state that partner with the state voc rehab program. And I just encourage everyone to look into that if you've not yet connected. That would be my advice.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for coming on the podcast. And if they want to get in contact with our employment services team, Christy, how would they go about contacting you and the team?
Absolutely. The first thing would be our website has a wealth of information, and that is www.bosma.org/center. And you can find information for all of our programs here at Bosma Center for Visionary Solutions. But I also welcome any direct emails. I'm happy to be your first point of contact. My email is christyr@bosma.org. That's KristyR@bosma.org.
Good. And make sure you're following Bosma on all social media platforms and definitely subscribe to the Navigating Blindness podcast on Apple, SoundCloud, and Google. And I'll talk with you next month.